तृतीय मुंडके द्वितीय खंड सेकंड सेक्शन ऑफ थर्ड मुंडक थर्ड चैप्टर सवेदैतत् परमं ब्रह्म धाम सवेदैतत् परमं ब्रह्म धाम यत्र विश्वं निहितं भाति शुभ्रम् उपासते पुरुषं ये ह्यकामाः ते शुक्रमेतद् अतिवर्तन्ति धीराः कामान्यः कामयते मन्यमानः स कामभर्जायते तत्र तत्र पर्याप्तकामस्य कृतात्मनस्तु इहैव सर्वे प्रविलीयन्ति कामाः नायमात्मा प्रवचनेन लभ्यः न मेधया न बहुना श्रुतेन नायमात्मा प्रवचनेन लभ्यः फॉर द सेक ऑफ रिसाइटिंग आई एम रीडिंग लाइक दिस नायमात्मा प्रवचनेन लभ्यः न मेधया न बहुना श्रुतेन यमेवैष वृणुते तेन लभ्यः यमेवैष वृणुते तेन लभ्यः तस्यैष आत्मा विवृणुते तनुं स्वाम् तस्यैष आत्मा विवृणुते तनुं स्वाम् नायमात्मा प्रवचनेन लभ्यः न मेधया न बहुना श्रुतेन यमेवैष वृणुते तेन लभ्यः तस्यैष आत्मा विवृणुते तनुं स्वाम् नायमात्मा बलहीनेन लभ्यः नायमात्मा बलहीनेन लभ्यः न च प्रमादात् तपसो वाप्यलिङ्गात् न च प्रमादात् तपसो वाप्यलिङ्गात् एतैरुपायैर्यतते यस्तु विद्वान् एतैरुपायैर्यतते यस्तु विद्वान् तस्यैष आत्मा विशते ब्रह्मधाम नायमात्मा बलहीनेन लभ्यः न च प्रमादात् तपसो वाप्यलिङ्गात् एतैरुपायैर्यतते यस्तु विद्वान् तस्यैष आत्मा विशते ब्रह्मधाम नायमात्मा बलहीनेन लभ्यः न च प्रमादात् तपसो वाप्यलिङ्गात् एतैरुपायैर्यतते यस्तु विद्वान् तस्यैष आत्मा विशते ब्रह्मधाम सम्प्राप्यैनं ऋषयो ज्ञानतृप्ताः सम्प्राप्यैनं ऋषयो ज्ञानतृप्ताः सम्प्राप्यैनं ऋषयो ज्ञानतृप्ताः कृतात्मानो वीतरागाः प्रशान्ताः कृतात्मानो वीतरागाः प्रशान्ताः ते सर्वगं सर्वतः प्राप्य धीराः ते सर्वगं सर्वतः प्राप्य धीराः युक्तात्मानः सर्वमेवमाविशन्ति युक्तात्मानं युक्तात्मानः सर्वमेवाविशन्ति युक्तात्मानः सर्वमेवाविशन्ति सम्प्राप्यैनं ऋषयो ज्ञानतृप्ताः कृतात्मानो वीतरागाः प्रशान्ताः ते सर्वगं सर्वतः प्राप्य धीराः युक्तात्मानः सर्वमेवाविशन्ति वेदान्तविज्ञानसुनिश्चितार्थाः வேதாந்த விஞ்ஞான சுனிச்சிதார்த்தாஹ சந்நியாஸ யோகாத் யதய சுத்த சத்வாஹ சந்நியாஸ யோகாத் யதய சுத்த சத்வாஹ தே ப்ரஹ்ம லோகேஷு பராந்த காலே தே ப்ரஹ்ம லோகேஷு பராந்த காலே பராம்ருதாஃ பரிமுச்யந்தி ஸர்வே தே ப்ரஹ்ம லோகேஷு பராந்த காலே பராம்ருதாஃ பரிமுச்யந்தி ஸர்வே வேதாந்த விஞ்ஞான சுனிச்சிதார்த்தாஹ சந்நியாஸ யோகாத் யதய சுத்த சத்வாஹ தே ப்ரஹ்ம லோகேஷு பராந்த காலே பராம்ருதாஃ பரிமுச்யந்தி ஸர்வே கதாஹ் கலாஃ பஞ்சதஶ ப்ரதிஷ்டா கதாஹ் கலாஃ பஞ்சதஶ ப்ரதிஷ்டா தேவாஶ்ச ஸர்வே ப்ரதிதேவதாஸு தேவாஶ்ச ஸர்வே ப்ரதிதேவதாஸு கர்மாணி விஜ்ஞானமயஶ்ச ஆத்மா கர்மாணி விஜ்ஞானமயஶ்ச ஆத்மா பரேவ்யயே ஸர்வே ஏகீபவந்தி பரேவ்யயே ஸர்வே ஏகீபவந்தி யதா நத்யஸ்யந்தமானா சமுத்ரே யதா நத்யஸ்யந்தமானா சமுத்ரே யதா நத்யஸ்யந்தமானா சமுத்ரே அஸ்தங்கச்சந்தி நாமரூபே விஹாய அஸ்தங்கச்சந்தி நாமரூபே விஹாய ததா வித்வான் நாமரூபாத் விமுக்தஹ ததா வித்வான் நாமரூபாத் விமுக்தஹ பராத்பரம் புருஷமுபைதி திவ்யம் பராத்பரம் புருஷமுபைதி திவ்யம் யதா நத்யஸ்யந்தமானா சமுத்ரே அஸ்தங்கச்சந்தி நாமரூபே விஹாய ததா வித்வான் நாமரூபாத் விமுக்தஹ பராத்பரம் புருஷமுபைதி திவ்யம் யதா நத்யஸ்யந்தமானா சமுத்ரே அஸ்தங்கச்சந்தி நாமரூபே விஹாய ததா வித்வான் நாமரூபாத் விமுக்தஹ பராத்பரம் புருஷமுபைதி திவ்யம் யதா நத்யஸ்யந்தமானா சமுத்ரே அஸ்தங்கச்சந்தி நாமரூபே விஹாய ததா வித்வான் நாமரூபாத் விமுக்தஹ பராத்பரம் புருஷமுபைதி திவ்யம் சயோஹ வை தத் பரமம் ப்ரஹ்ம வேத சயோஹ வை தத் பரமம் ப்ரஹ்ம வேத ப்ரஹ்மைவ பவதி 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 நாஸ்யா ப்ரஹ்ம வித்குலே பவதி நாஸ்யா ப்ரஹ்ம வித்குலே பவதி தரதி சோகம் தரதி பாப்மானம் தரதி சோகம் தரதி பாப்மானம் தரதி சோகம் தரதி பாப்மானம் குஹா க்ரந்திப்யோ விமுக்தோ மிருதோ பவதி குஹா க்ரந்திப்யோ விமுக்தோ மிருதோ பவதி குஹா க்ரந்தி க்ரந்திப்யோ விமுக்தோ அம்ருதோ பவதி குஹா க்ரந்திப்யோ விமுக்தோ அம்ருதோ பவதி ஸ யோஹ வை தத் பரமம் ப்ரஹ்ம வேத ப்ரஹ்மைவ பவதி நாஸ்யா ப்ரஹ்ம வித்குலே பவதி தரதி சோகம் தரதி பாப்மானம் குஹா க்ரந்திப்யோ விமுக்தோ அம்ருதோ பவதி ததேதத்ருச்சாப்யுக்தம் ತದೇತದೃಚಾಭ್ಯುಕ್ತಂ ಕ್ರಿಯಾವಂತ ಶ್ರೋತ್ರಿಯ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನಿಷ್ಠಾ ಕ್ರಿಯಾವಂತ ಶ್ರೋತ್ರಿಯ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನಿಷ್ಠಾ ಸ್ವಯಂ ಜುಹ್ವತ ಏಕರ್ಷಿಂ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಯಂತಃ ಸ್ವಯಂ ಜುಹ್ವತ ಏಕರ್ಷಿಂ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಯಂತಃ ತೇಷಾಮೇ ವೈತಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿದ್ಯಾಂ ವದೇತ ತೇಷಾಮೇ ವೈತಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿದ್ಯಾಂ ವದೇತ ಶಿರೋವ್ರತಂ ವಿಧಿವದ್ಯೈಸ್ತು ಚೀರ್ಣಂ ಶಿರೋವ್ರತಂ ವಿಧಿವದ್ಯೈಸ್ತು ಚೀರ್ಣಂ ಕ್ರಿಯಾವಂತ ಶ್ರೋತ್ರಿಯ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನಿಷ್ಠಾಃ ಸ್ವಯಂ ಜುಹ್ವತ ಏಕರ್ಷಿಂ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಯಂತಃ ತೇಷಾಮೇ ವೈತಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿದ್ಯಾಂ ವದೇತ ಶಿರೋವ್ರತಂ ವಿಧಿವದ್ಯೈಸ್ತು ಚೀರ್ಣಂ ಕ್ರಿಯಾವಂತ ಶ್ರೋತ್ರಿಯ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನಿಷ್ಠಾಃ ಸ್ವಯಂ ಜುಹ್ವತ ಏಕರ್ಷಿಂ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಯಂತಃ ತೇಷಾಮೇ ವೈತಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಿದ್ಯಾಂ ವದೇತ ಶಿರೋವ್ರತಂ ವಿಧಿವದ್ಯೈಸ್ತು ಚೀರ್ಣಂ ತದೇತತ್ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಋಷಿರಂಗಿರಾಃ ಪುರೋವಾಚ ನೈತದಚೀರ್ಣವ್ರತೋಧೀತೇ ತದೇತತ್ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಋಷಿರಂಗಿರಾಃ ಪುರೋವಾಚ ತದೇತತ್ ಸತ್ಯಂ ತದೇತತ್ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಋಷಿರಂಗಿರಾಃ ಪುರೋವಾಚ ತದೇತತ್ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಋಷಿರಂಗಿರಾಃ ಪುರೋವಾಚ ತದೇತತ್ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಋಷಿರಂಗಿರಾಃ ಪುರೋವಾಚ ನೈತದಚೀರ್ಣವ್ರತೋಧೀತೇ ನಮಃ ಪರಮ ಋಷಿಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ ಪರಮ ಋಷಿಭ್ಯಃ ನಮಃ ಪರಮ ಋಷಿಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ ಪರಮ ಋಷಿಭ್ಯಃ ಇತಿ ಮುಂಡಕೋಪನಿಷದಿ ತೃತೀಯ ಮುಂಡಕ್ಕೆ ದ್ವಿತೀಯ ಖಂಡಃ. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್, ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ರಿಸೈಟಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಮಂತ್ರಾಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಡೇ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ದಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಫೆಮಿಲಿಯರ್ ವಿತ್ ದಿ ಮಂತ್ರಾಸ್. ಸಿ ಹೌ ಮಚ್ ಯುವರ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಯು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್, ದ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ರಿಮೈನ್ ಇನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಮೈಂಡ್. ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ರಿಲೇಟ್, ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಬೆಟರ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ಸೋ ನೋ ಹೌ ಟು ರೀಡ್ ಚಾಂಟ್ ರಿಸೈಟ್ ಮಂತ್ರಾಸ್ ಕರೆಕ್ಟ್ಲಿ. ಆಸ್ ಯು ರಿಸೈಟ್ ಮಂತ್ರ, ದ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಶುಡ್ ಕಮ್ ಟು ಯುವರ್ ಮೈಂಡ್. ನೌ ಯು ಆರ್ ಟ್ರೈಂಗ್ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದಿ ಅನ್ಫೋಲ್ಡ್ಮೆಂಟ್. ಅಗೇನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್. ಸೊ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಭಾಷ್ಯಂ ಆಲ್ಸೋ, ದೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಮಚ್ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್. ಅಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಸ್ಟಡಿ ದಿ ಉಪನಿಷತ್. So we saw the yesterday's class. Kamanya kamayate manyamanaha sah kama bharjayate tatra tatra paryapta kamasya kritatmanastu ihaiva sarve paviliyanti kamaha. The second mantra I've explained elaborately yesterday. Let me make it very clear. See, as long as ajnanam is, as long as ignorance of the self is, so long will there be identity with the anatma, body, mind's complex, choicelessly, helplessly. As a result of having identity with anatma, body, mind's complex, naturally, there'll be erroneous notions about the self, as I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, aham karta, aham bhokta, aham sukhi, aham dukhi. All these notions will be naturally there. So these entertaining these notions, not intentionally, unintentionally, helplessly, because of ignorance, because of wrong identity, entertaining these notions that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc., is very natural. And as long as these notions are there, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, as long as wrong identity is there, helplessly there will be smallness, there will be inadequacy, and there will be problems. So naturally, there'll be constant effort to free oneself from inadequacy. Therefore, there will be needs and there will be desires also. Desires for external material objects. And so, the yaha kaman kamayate, the person who's desirous of having more and more of material things for his happiness and security, being ignorant, helplessly will die also with the desires. And if a person dies ignorant person, naturally there'll be many unfulfilled desires. There'll be so many desires. The person dies with the desires. What is the reason? A person dies ignorant. As ajnani, a person dies, helplessly he will die with many desires. He might have fulfilled many desires, still he will have many more desires, and he will die as a person of unfulfilled desires. And such a person, and he'll be born again in an atmosphere situation where he can fulfill his unresolved wishes, unresolved desires. So rebirth is confirmed. Whereas a person who attains jnanam, who even though as a jnani, a person is endowed with the body, mind, and senses complex, because of the wisdom, because of his knowledge, when a person becomes objective towards his body, mind, and senses complex, so when his identity is with Paramatma, as a jnani, person's identity is not anymore with anatma, but with atma. And a person's identity is with atma, not with anatma, then naturally he becomes free from wrong notions. He is free from the fundamental problem of smallness centered on I. He does not entertain any wrong notions. I am the doer. I am the enjoyer. Okay, aham karta, aham bhokta, aham pramata. All these wrong notions a person has about the self. This ahankara, okay? Entertaining wrong notions about oneself is ahankara. Aham karta, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. These notions are natural notions because of ignorance, because of identity with anatma. So a jnani, a person who has discovered the Atma, thereby who has identity, his identity is with Atma, not with Anatma, becomes free from wrong notions. Because Atma is not the doer, Atma is not the enjoyer, Atma is not the knower, Atma is not anything. Even though the knower, doer, everything is Atma, Atma is not anything. Therefore, the person who has identity with Atma becomes free from all wrong notions. Thereby, he is not bound by any karma. He becomes free from karma. And the wrong notions about the self become resolved. All sanchita agami karmas become resolved for good. This cognitive, Pooja Swamiji should say, cognitive shift. Shifting the essence intellectually, cognitively, from anatma to atma. If it happens, that is what is what? An individual resolving one's jivatma status and claiming one's paramatma nature status. Jivatma is already paramatma. He need not become paramatma, cannot become paramatma. So he, in ajnanam, He has the jiva status. In jnanam, he claims his Ishvara status. The jivatma, all his wrong notions about the self become dropped. Then, that is why the person does not really resolve all his karmas. When the wrong notions become dropped, all the karmas become resolved. Sanchita karma becomes resolved for good, agami karma becomes resolved for good, parabdha karma becomes exhausted in this life itself. Because when the present life ends, be sure that you have come exhausted your present prarabdha karma. In fact, the death itself happens only when the prarabdha karma comes to an end. So when this life comes to an end, prarabdha karma becomes exhausted. No more prarabdha karma. And because doership is not there, enjoyership is not there, I am the enjoyer, that notion is not there. Therefore, sanchita karmas become resolved for good. Agami karmas become resolved for good. Therefore, the person becomes free from bondage of karma. Karma bandhat vimuktaha bhavati. That's what mantra says. Karmani praviliyanti. All his karmas resolve for good. Therefore, what happens? No desires, no wrong identity, no wrong notions. Therefore, no more desires also. All karmas also become resolved. Okay? Two reasons are that for a person to be born again. What are the two reasons? Unfulfilled desires must be there. Then, sanchita agami, again, paradha has to be exhausted, isn't it? Only for exhausting part of the karma and to fulfill the unfulfilled desires, one has to be born. That is possible only if a person dies ajnani. A person has doership and enjoyership. A person has desires. Whereas a jnani becomes free from the hold of desires. Therefore, jnani has no desires and he dies. At the same time, because jnani is a paryapta kamaha, Purna Kamaha. Second thing, Jnani has no more doership and enjoyership, and he becomes free from all Sanjita Agami karmas. If Parabdha becomes exhausted, asya karmani praviliyanti, all his karmas resolve absolutely for good. No more karma, no more results of action to be exhausted, no more desires to be fulfilled. Therefore, Jnani's mind will resolve for good. The mind resolves for good means mind is not available anymore, okay, to assume another body. Therefore, there's no punarjanma. That's called videha mukti. That's what we understood in the previous class. Let us move on to the next mantra now.
Nayamatma Pravachanena labhyaha na medhayana bahuna sutena.
So beautiful mantras. See, Pujya Swamiji is the only one who always begins teaching the Mundaka Upanishad first. Whoever wants to begin the study of Upanishads, Swamiji always recommended studying Mundaka Upanishad first. So many beautiful mantras. And also, Bhashyam is very simple for this. This is the cry. This is how one must go systematically. Then, which Upanishad should be studied next? The order must be very clear. People who do not know, not knowing anything, head and tail of what should be studied first, they go and read Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad. No, there's a proper order. Which must be studied first? But our clarity will be same teaching, understanding different Upanishads, but step by step systematically. Okay.
Nayamatma pravachanena labhyaha na medhaya na bahuna sutena yame vaisha vrnute tena labhyaha tasyaisha atma vivrunute tanum swam nayamatma pravachanena labhyaha na medhayana bahuna sutena yame vaisha vrunute tena labhyaha tasyaisha atma vivrunute tanum swam Nayamatma pravachanena labhyaha na medhayana bahuna shrutena yame vaisha vrnute tena labhyaha
தஸ்யேஷ ஆத்மா விவ்ருணுதே தனும் ஸ்வாம். ந அயம் ஆத்மா பிரவச்சனேன லப்யா. We break it. அயம் ஆத்மா பிரவச்சனேன ந லப்யா. Can we make a clean sentence? அயம் ஆத்மா பிரவச்சனேன ந லப்யா. So அயம், you all know, a third person singular pronoun. It is not English அயம். Sanskrit அயம் is what? அயம் means this. அயம் is a masculine gender pronoun, this. ஆத்மா is a masculine gender word. நகாரந்த புல்லிங்க சப்தா. Therefore, அயம் ஆத்மா means this self. All pervasive, only reality, obtaining as the nearest self. Nearest self as the content of I. I am Atma means what? All pervasive, abstract, subtlest, absolute reality, obtaining as the innermost, nearest self, as the truth of I, as a substance or the substantive I, is meant by the word I am Atma. And this Atma, I am Atma, Labhyaha means available. Na Labhyaha, not available. This Atma is not available for objectification. Na Labhyaha means Atma is not available for objectification. Atma is not available, available. Pravachanena, na pravachanena. Na medhaya. Atma is not available through pravachanam. Atma is available, attainable through, not attainable, through medha. Na bahuna shrutena, not even by listening abundantly, Atma can be attained. This literal meaning of the first sentence. Before I go to the next sentence, let me make it very clear. I'll come back to the mantra again. Just I wanted to introduce. See this, let us remember, in the whole of Mundaka Upanishad, now we are seeing the concluding section of the Mundaka Upanishad. It is the second section of the third Mundaka. It is a concluding section. So, in this concluding section also, the sage Angiras, who is playing the role of a guru, who is playing the role of a teacher to the disciple Shaunaka. So, the sage Angiras, the acharya, who plays the role of a guru, is desirous of consolidating, the important subject matter of the Upanishad. That is the essential nature of the individual. The essential nature of I, the first person singular pronoun. The essential nature of the individual is the essential nature of the whole jagat, which is said to be swarupam, atma swarupam. So the teacher Angiras, with the intention of consolidating the main topic of the Upanishad, that is the essential nature of the individual, and also the knowledge of the essential nature. Atmaswarupam, Atmaswarupa Jnanam. Then the means of attaining the knowledge of the self. So nature of the atma, then knowledge of the nature of the atma, the means of attainment of the knowledge of the atma, and the benefit of the knowledge of the nature of the atma. Four important titles, topics. I make it clear. All the four together constitute one main subtopic of the Upanishad. So essential nature of the self, the knowledge of the essential nature of the self, the means of attainment of knowledge of the essential nature of the self, and the benefit of knowledge of the nature of the self. All these four topics together constitute the main subject matter of the Upanishad. Therefore, Rishi Angiras really wants to reinforce the same teaching here. So what our essential nature is, what we are essentially, and the knowledge of the essential, our own essential nature, and the means of attainment of knowledge of our essential nature, and the benefit of the attainment of knowledge. These four main topics, which constitute the main subject matter of the Upanishad, is reinforced here. Again, in fact, reconsolidated in this section. So we see, having discussed about the greatness of knowledge, now from this mantra onwards, in few of the mantras, the sadhanas, the means of attainment of knowledge. What are all the means required for the attainment of knowledge? Now we are all interested in attaining jnanam because we all know the value of knowledge. We all know what moksha is. We know the value of moksha. We know the value of jnanam. We know the connection between jnanam and moksha. And we know how shastram serves as a means of knowledge. And we have great shraddha in the shastram. And now, what are the means that Upanishad highlights as the means required for the attainment of jnanam? So in this mantra, now Upanishad, this mantra specifically says, one must carefully make note of these sadhanas. One must carefully make note of these means. Otherwise, attainment of knowledge will be impossible unless and until one pays attention to these important disciplines, the sadhanas required for the attainment of jnanam. One observes carefully and follows also. It is not possible at all to attain jnanam. It be impossible to attain jnanam. Na labhyaha. Atma is not attainable means knowledge of Atma is not attainable. We should remember, labhyaha means attainable. Atma can never be attained. Why? You are Atma. You can only attain what is other, anything other than you, different from you. What is different from you, other than you can attain. How can you attain yourself? Because Atma is yourself. Already you are Atma. Therefore, attainment of Atma is not mentioned here. Attainment of knowledge of Atma is as though attaining Atma. Let me repeat it. Attainment of knowledge of the Atma is as though attaining Atma. And attainment of Atma is as attainment of moksha, which is already there as one's own nature. Therefore, what the mantra says here, attainment of knowledge will be impossible. Therefore, attainment of moksha also will be impossible unless a person pays attention, makes note of these important sadhanas. Of all those sadhanas, the exalted sadhana highlighted in the Upanishad is that one must become totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam. There must be sincerity on one's part in one's commitment to the pursuit of jnanam. Commitment. Nothing can be accomplished without commitment. So attainment of moksha, discovery of moksha, discovery of one's own essential nature, discovery of the self is dependent on one's commitment. There must be sincerity on one's part, which means moksha, one must be 100% convinced of the fact that moksha is nothing but discovery of freedom, which is already there as one's own nature. Therefore, and discovery of this freedom, which already one has, fullness, happiness, which is already one has as one's own nature, is the ultimate goal. Discovering the freedom, fullness, limitlessness, which is already there as one's own nature, is the choiceless, absolute, ultimate goal. So, one must be convinced, I live this life ultimately for discovering moksha. And this conviction, having this conviction that this human life itself, for an intelligent human being who knows the purpose of living this life, for him accomplishing moksha in terms of discovery of the self is the absolute end, is the okay. Then attainment of moksha becomes his priority. The priority will be different. For a person of discriminative understanding, priority will be very clear. What is my priority in life? He is very clear about his priority. Priority being discovery of moksha through the discovery of the self. Okay. And why Upanishad teaches this now in this mantra? Because it is very difficult for all of us, because we're so much engrossed in this world. Our biological needs, physical needs, emotional needs are such. Natural urges are such. So we have our own problems in life. And therefore, what happens? Prioritizing our goal, deciding what is my priority in life, there is difficulty. There's difficulty in prioritizing that what is my ultimate goal. We are very difficult in knowing our priorities. Because we do need to have to fulfill many of our important things, needs, our hunger, our thirst, our other requirements, basic needs, food, shelter, clothing. Even in taking care of these things, which are basic necessities, our time, most of the time is spent only in taking care of our basic needs. Because it's very important. Food is important, water is important, clothing is important, shelter is important, which is not important. So in taking care of our basic needs itself, most of our time is spent. Therefore, we have so many things to do, as a result of which We are confused about our priorities. Therefore, it is made very clear, one must be very clear that one must have commitment. I am, moksha is my choiceless, and artha kamas are important. Artha kamas must be in conformity with dharma, no doubt about it. All the three ends are required only for living this life. But life is definitely not lived for artha kama dharmas. Life is ultimately lived for the attainment of jnanam, which itself is mokshaha. One must be convinced. Thereby, moksha should become one's priority. One must have commitment. There must be sincerity in one's commitment to the pursuit of jnanam. This is one thing. So, if we know, okay, moksha is my ultimate goal, means we choose our end. My priority is moksha. My ultimate goal is moksha. Jnanam is my goal. I'm living this life for ultimately discovering the truth. Which then, if pursuit of jnanam becomes the ultimate goal, then Paramatma, Bhagavan, becomes the ultimate goal. Then the life becomes totally committed to the pursuit of Bhagavan, the truth. Then we carefully choose and we live also thoughtfully. We carefully choose, thoughtfully we live. So, what sadhanas do I need to accomplish my goal? So if I choose with an intention, then my priority actually will decide also the sadhanas, the type of sadhanas, the quality of my sadhanas. So here in the mantra, it is said, Na ayam atma pravachanena labhyaha. See the first line now. Na ayam atma pravachanena na labhyaha. This atma is not attainable. Atma cannot be attained. Na labhyaha. Through what? Pravachanam. Pravachanam. Vachanam is speaking. Pravachanam means now prakrashena vakti iti pravachanam. Pravachanam means, in fact, lecture, discourse. So, literally, the word pravachanam means lecturing. Pravachanam means lecturing. Pravachanam means giving discourse. So what the mantra says, even if we go and sit and listen to any amount of lectures, discourses given by many, many erudite scholars. So even if we go and simply sit and listen and listen and listen to any amount of lectures and discourses offered by, you know, many great scholars also, and simply sitting and listening to many discourses is not enough, will not help at all a person attain the knowledge of Atma. That is one meaning. And Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada says, Pravachanam, according to the meaning of the word Pravachanam, given by Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada, his commentary is, learning to recite the Vedic texts. Learning to chant the Vedic texts is called Pravachanam. The meaning given by Shankara Bhagavad Pada. So, Veda Adhyayanam is the meaning of the word pravachanam given by Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary. It's another meaning. So even if a person learns to go to Veda Patashala and learns properly Pada, Krama, etc., and learns to chant the Veda mantras thoroughly, so merely learning to chant the entire Veda, memorizing all the Veda mantras also, is not enough. But simply memorizing, learning to chant, and memorizing the Veda mantras also, by that also, Atma cannot be attained. Ayam Atma na labhyaha, pravachanena na labhyaha. Okay. See, there are, people do have the habit of, you know, reciting. Every day, there are many, many Vaidikas, very good, beautiful, very nice, very, very nice to know that many people have the habit of namutrodal, reciting the mantras, reciting so many things, chanting. They chant in their own native language, just they chant, other regional languages chant. They chant, and Samskritam they chant. They chant Veda mantras, they do chant Rudram, they chant Thamakam, and they chant Naraniyam, they chant Devi Mahatyam, they chant Vishu Sahasranama, they chant Lalita Sahasranama, and they perform different pujas, occasional pujas. Is all good? They're all very good. They're all punya karmas. No doubt they're all punya karmas. But all these punya karmas, in terms of reciting, chanting the texts, Vedantic texts, or open Vedic texts, or scriptural texts, I mean other religion, the Shastra texts, Shastra based texts, Bhagavad Gita Parayanam, all these are chanting any text is a punya karma. It produces punya, no doubt, but it will not be useful in attaining the knowledge of Atma. So mere recitation, Atma cannot be attained. Atma is not Ayam Atmana Labhyaha by Pravachanena, by merely reciting, chanting. Two meanings must take for the meaning. Two meanings should be understood for the word Pravachanam. So merely listening to any number of, any amount of discourses will not help. And merely reciting the, doing the chanting of mantras and slokas also will not help a person in discovering the Atma. Discovery of Atma is discovery of moksha. So Atma cannot be attained. Please make a note. When the Upanishad says, I am Atma Pravachanena na Labhyaha, please be careful. When the Upanishad says, I am Atma Pravachanena na Labhyaha, this Atma cannot be attained, moksha cannot be attained as a result of listening to discourses or as a result of chanting the mantras and slokas, we should not mistake. We should not think that listening to discourses is useless. Upanishad says, Atma cannot be attained through pravachanam, through listening to the discourses, but through chanting of mantras, etc. means that should not, that statement of Shastram, Upanishad, should not be mistaken that listening to the discourses is useless. Or chanting is useless. No. Here the idea conveyed is, please make a note, the idea that is conveyed here, the message that is conveyed here is not that discourse is useless, listening to the discourse is useless, reciting the mantras is useless. That is not the message conveyed here. That is not the idea conveyed here. Pravachanam is not useless. What Upanishad says is, simply listening to any amount of lectures without the thirst for jnanam, Okay, you can go and listen to the lecture. When you go and listen to the lecture, there must be total commitment. Oh, I'm listening to this Shastram because my total commitment is for the pursuit of Jnanam. I want the Jnanam. That burning desire must be there. Intense desire must be there. Intense, fervent prayer must be there. With the intense, fervent prayer that I want a Jnanam, if a person goes and listens to the discourse, the Shraddha, then that intense desire will make it possible. Simply going and sitting and listening, a number of hours a person spends in listening. The person spends a number of hours in chanting. But there's no intense desire for Jnanam and Moksha. Then Atma cannot be attained. Atma is not available for recognition. Moksha is available for attainment. But simply mechanically, no, it's not so mechanically, simply listening to the discourses and reciting mantras without intense, fervent desire for Jnanam and Moksha. So the idea conveyed here is not that you discourse, listening to discourse is useless, but the main idea, the teaching conveyed here, given here is that there must be 100% total commitment, the sincere commitment on the part of the listener. It happens, no? Even Gurukulam, we see so many people have been coming for years and years and years. I don't know what happened. Some people leave this teacher and Puja Swami and go to somebody else also. I used to feel sad those days. How is it possible for somebody to come to Puja Swami to listen to this Shastram again, go to somebody else? As a young girl, not now, when I was very, very young, I used to feel. Even Swamiji used to say this, that the only problem I had was that I couldn't stand anybody going to any other teacher. When I was very, very young, I had the problem. Because they come and listen for so many years. It means there's no Shraddha, there's no commitment, there's no, and they just simply come and listen. It's for intellectual pleasure to go and say that I also listen, I also know things. No. Here, the Purushartha Nischeha must be there. And with the intense and fervent desire for Jnanam, with Shraddha, one must, with a total commitment and with the sincerity, one must listen. Then the discourse will be useful. Even the chanting done also must be done with the commitment, total commitment to Bhagavan. People may can, if we chant, it's good for me. I'll get this. If I chant, it is good for me. Now, many people do parana because it's a punya karma. Not with the commitment to Bhagavan, not with total commitment to Bhagavan, not with the burning desire for Jnanam or Moksha. Then that also becomes, so simply doing all this, they're all religious activities. So mere religious activities without being spiritual, without being commitment to, without any commitment to pursuit of Jnanam, will not help a person attain Jnanam or Moksha. Okay, then, na medhaya, na bahuna sutena. So, pravachanena atmana labhyaha. Medhaya atmana labhyaha. Bahuna sutena. Okay, now medha means good power of intellection. Good power of intellection is medha. Grahana dharana shaktihi is medha. The capacity to listen, the capacity to grasp, the capacity to retain what has been grasped, and the capacity to ascertain what has been heard and retained is said to be the good power of intellection. This is medha. You can say memory power also. Okay? A good power of intellection implies good memory power, I mean capacity to retain and ascertain. So, in Vedic tradition, listening to the teacher's recitation of mantras and repeating after the teacher and learning to chant, recite correctly, thereby memorizing the mantras is also one of the important disciplines in Vedic tradition. That is why I don't know how many people in the world are given to this habit of memorizing. I don't know. In Vedic tradition, in Tamil also we have that people who do Muttodhar and all, they memorize so many verses of Tiruvachakamana. Amazing. Prabandha, many people memorize. So many verses they memorize. In Tamil, also in if we go to North India, they memorize, they all, Kalidasa, they memorize. So many, any text, in any region, in region of India, they memorize the local scriptures, the scriptural texts, the contents of the our literature. Why? Because in this, in the whole of India, in Vedic tradition, listening to the teacher's recitation, repeating after the teacher, and learning to chant correctly, and memorizing the mantras and slokas is also a part of our discipline, part of the discipline, part of the sadhana. It means, because there's before we listen to the unfoldment of the Veda mantras, in fact, the tradition, we have to study involves two steps. One is Veda Adhyayanam, another is Veda Mimamsa. Veda Adhyayanam, then Veda Mimamsa. Adhyayanam means simply learning to recite after the teacher, learning to listening to the teacher's recitation and correctly grasping his pronunciation, intonation, etc. Then learning to recite after him and repeatedly chanting those mantras and shlokas, memorizing the mantras itself is called Veda Adhyayanam. And after having thoroughly studied, memorized the end, all the contents of the text, then the student must have the whole text memorized in his mind. I told you long ago, in those days, there was no printing press. There was no such a thing called having the book in front of you. And the teacher mentioned number of page number. You can just turn the pages and see which he said where. No, such a no number of, that is, there's no full stop. There's no nothing. So because there's no such a thing called textbook available in front of them, printed, not even manuscripts. Nothing was there. So then everything has to be, the whole textbook must be contained in the mind. So the first, the student is given the textbook, not in the physically, in the form of manuscripts or in the form of a printed book. The whole textbook, the teacher teaches first, how with the proper intonation, etc. So how the whole text must be studied. So the student first learns and learns and learns, memorizes the whole textbook without even knowing the meaning. And every student will have, after the Veda Adhyayanam, the student is supposed to have memorized a certain portion at least. The student must have the book already ready in his mind. When the Mimamsa, when the analytic, the mantras are analyzed later on, the taught, meanings are taught. When the teacher tells the mantras, the student must be able to turn the pages of the text in his mind, not in the outside. He must be able to pull the mantra from different places, which means how thoroughly the student must have memorized that. There's a cult tradition. Therefore, memorizing the mantras is a part of the Vedic tradition, the part of the sadhana in the Vedic tradition. It's because that also involves focus. You must be focused. You must be clean so that the disciplines of mind. Therefore, it's also sadhana. Memorizing is also the part of this sadhana in the Vedic tradition. So, therefore, if one has to memorize everything, one must listen to the teacher. Because Shravanam is a oral tradition. Vedic tradition is a oral tradition. Otherwise, it will be Karna Parampara. Everything has to be heard from the mouth of the teacher, then listened, understood, retained, memorized, and kept ready. The way it's a oral tradition, or you can say Karna Parampara. The Karna teaching was given through in Karma Karna Parampara. It's a Karna Parampara. Everything was heard and understood. Because there's no printed book. Therefore, person begins his life. As a young child, is okay. At the age of seven, until he becomes seven, the student has a sanction just to be the way he wants to be. At the age of seven, he's initiated into the Upanayanam, the study of the Shastram. Then that time onwards, he's called Brahmachari. Then he begins his life as a Brahmachari, studying the Veda Shastram. He is called Veda Adhyena Kalaha. Veda Adhyena Kalaha means learning to memorize the texts. So as a Brahmachari, first one has to learn to memorize all the whole text. It's a part of the discipline, part of the sadhana in the tradition. But now such a thing is not required anymore, because now we know how so many mathams and so many ashramas have we got, right? Printing press, we have printed books, everything is available. Anyway, therefore Upanishad makes it very clear, mechanically merely memorizing mantras, even though it is a part of the sadhana, still atma cannot be attained. Why? Because unless purushartha nischaya is there, unless commitment and sincerity is there, then atma cannot be attained by mere chanting, etc. Merely memorizing also. Medhaya na bahunashrutena. Again, the pravachanena is elaborately discussed by these two words, medhaya and bahunashrutena. Bahunashrutena means what? Shrutam means listening here. So listening. Pravachanena atma nalabhyaha. That is again further commented upon by saying na medaya na bahunashrutena. Not by listening, not by doing any amount of listening to any discourse, any number of discourses, not by simply learning to recite and memorize all the mantras, atma cannot be attained. Okay. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyaha. Na medhaya na bahunashrutena. Okay. Then who can attain atma? Who can attain the knowledge of atma? It is said, yameva yesha vrnuti tena labhyaha. Atma, the knowledge of the atma can be attained. Knowledge of the atma can be attained. Moksha can be attained only by that person. Tena labhyaha. Tena means by that person. Atma can be attained. Atma jnanam can be attained. Moksha can be attained only by that person. Yam eva yeshaha vrnute. By that person, the person who chooses, who prioritizes, moksha as his absolute ultimate goal of life. Okay, moksha, atma can be attained. Moksha can be attained. Knowledge of atma can be attained only by that person who chooses moksha as his absolute ultimate only goal, only end of life. Yameva yeshaha vrunute. Vrunute means chooses. Yeshaha vrunute means this person chooses. So this person who chooses yameva, only moksha, the person who chooses the knowledge of the atma alone, moksha alone, attainment of moksha alone as the ultimate goal, the person who chooses or prioritizes moksha as his ultimate absolute end, only by such a person knowledge of the atma can be attained, moksha can be attained. Yameva, eva is important word. Only that as the ultimate goal. Yameva yeshaha vrunute tena labhyaha. Which means, what does it mean? Does the Upanishad say that artha kama dharma should not be pursued? No. Please understand. Yameva yeshaha vrunute means yeshaha, this person, vrunute, chooses. Chooses yameva means mokshaha or jnanam alone as the ultimate goal, absolute end. Which means other purusharthas, arthakama dharmas should not be ignored. Arthakama dharmas should not be rejected. They are not rejected. They are not said refute. Arthakama dharmas also must be pursued, but arthakama dharmas must be pursued only as subsidiary ends, relative ends, stepping stones. Must be pursued for living this life. Arthakama dharmas must be pursued for living this life, but the life must be lived consciously, having chosen moksha as jnanam, as the absolute end, ultimate goal, only ultimate goal of life. Is it clear? Yameva yeshaha yameva vrunute tena labhyaha. So atma jnanam can be attained by that person who chooses this moksha alone, jnanam alone, atma alone as his ultimate priority and goal of life. Okay. So nayamatma pravachanena labhyaha na medhaya na bahuna shrutena yameva yeshaha yameva yesha vrunute tena labhyaha. Tasya yesha atma vrunute tanum swam. Okay, now last part. Tasya yeshaha atma tan swam tanum vivrunute. Tasya, for such a person, atma swam tanum vivrunute. So having purushartha nischayaha, that atma being the ultimate, moksha being the ultimate, having the knowledge that moksha is the ultimate goal, thereby with a total commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, having moksha as the ultimate goal, and having moksha as the most important of all the priorities, when a person lives, then when such a person, atma jnanam happens. So he vrunote, he chooses the atma. So the person who is committed to the pursuit of jnanam is also the one who is committed to the attainment of moksha. The same. Because atma jnanam itself is mokshaha. Okay. Now it is said, See, Param, Bhagavan and Moksha, the truth, Bhagavan, Moksha are all one and the same. They are synonyms. Okay? Bhagavan, Paramatma, the truth or the reality, Moksha are the same. Why? Because happiness, Moksha is the nature of the truth, nature of Paramatma. Okay, here a doubt should come. If Paramatma and Jivatma are one and the same essentially, if already Jivatma is Paramatma, and the Jivatma is already free, already Mumukshu, already he is liberated. If already he is liberated, if Jivatma is already Paramatma, the Jivatma is already free, because Jivatma is Paramatma, then who is the one who is the seeker of moksha? Then another thing is, yes, only Nagyani Jiva is the seeker of moksha. And if Bhagavan and the truth are one and the same, Bhagavan, the truth and moksha are one and the same. And this spiritual aspirant, does he choose moksha as his ultimate goal? Does he choose Bhagavan as his ultimate goal? Does he choose knowledge of the truth as his ultimate goal? No confusion. Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear. Commitment to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, commitment to the pursuit of Bhagavan, commitment to the pursuit of moksha is one and the same. Read the mantra there. Very beautiful mantra anyway it is. Yameva yeshaha vanute tena labhyaha tasya such a person atma swam tanum vivrunute. To such a person, Atma reveals its nature. Atma, Tanum, means form. If you take it as nature, the word Tanu literally means form or body. The word Tanu in some contexts means body. Some context means form. But here, nature. Swam, Tanu is a Strilinga Shabda. Therefore, Swam, Tanum, Atma, Vivranute. And such a tasya, to such a person who chooses Atma as Atma Jnanam as the ultimate goal, but to such a person, Atma reveals its nature. And because of such a person, Bhagavan also confers his grace. The person who is committed to the pursuit of Bhagavan taps abundance of Bhagavan's grace. Therefore, it's Bhagavan's grace blesses a person, okay, with the wisdom and vision. So Atma reveals its nature to such a person. How a person, if a person is committed, thereby the commitment will enable a person to tap Bhagavan's grace. As a result of Bhagavan's grace, then one will be able to do Shravanam, one will be able to do Mananam, then one will be able to have the clear doubtful knowledge of the Swarupam of the Atma. Then it be possible for him to dwell upon one's own nature. It will be possible for him to even Nirguna Swarupa Upasanam. Thereby his vision will become ascertained. That is what is implied. Atma also reveals its nature to such a person. Means the person taps Bhagavan's grace and thereby he will have the vision. That is the meaning. So, Nayam Atma. Again it is said. So, how one can tap Bhagavan's grace? Obstruction-free, obstacle-free, impediment-free Shravanam, to have obstruction-free understanding, the confusion-free understanding, and to be able to retain the teaching, to reflect upon the teaching, to have the doubts resolved, then to be able to dwell upon the Swarupa of the Atma, to ascertain the teaching, to enjoy the benefit of the Jnanam, you need Bhagavan's grace. See, Jnanam will not happen by any shortcut method. Okay? No flash of light. One has to go through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. At least one, even a highly evolved person also must go through at least Shravanam. He may not require Mananam and Nididhyasanam. A person who is highly evolved, highly pure-minded person, just once listening is enough for him. Everything will become much clearer. He'll attain Jnanam immediately. Swarupam becomes revealed to him. Otherwise, one must go through Mananam and Nididhyasanam also. But only by going through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, one can have the Atma Swarupam revealed to oneself. One can have the clear, doubt-free vision of the nature of the truth obtaining as one's own self. And to have such, to go through Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhyasanam without any obstacles, without any hindrances, okay, to go through, one needs abundance of Bhagavan's grace. And that abundance of Bhagavan's grace, which is required for going through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam without any problems, any obstacles. See, one must enjoy the classes. One must be able to go through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam happily, without any problems. One mind must be, focus, attention must be available here without any distraction. So, to have such Mananam, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam without any obstacle, thereby to attain clear vision, to enjoy the benefit of this Jnanam, one needs Bhagavan's grace. And it is possible for one to tap Bhagavan's grace only if a person has commitment, sincere commitment to the pursuit of Bhagavan. That is the main lesson given in the mantra. Okay. Nayamatma balahinena labhyaha nacha pramadat tapaso vapya lingat etairupayer yatate yastu vidvan tasyesha atma vishate brahma dhama. See, all these mantras are important mantras. I will explain next class. I don't want to rush now. So see this mantra now. Na yamatma pravachanena labhyaha na medhayana bahuna shutena yameva yesha yameva isha vrunutetena labhyaha tasyesha atma vivrunutetanom swam. Okay. Any question from there? See, Atma Vrunute means Atma reveals its Swarupam to such a person, means the person has Bhagavan's grace. With the Bhagavan's grace, a person is able to go through the steps without any obstacles. Is it clear? That is why I always say intense prayer, fervent prayer. Puja Swamiji, I teach this in the very introduction to my classes. I always teach this. Hey Bhagavan, hey Paramatman, please bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. Please bless me with a strong will to choose to do the right, to choose to refrain from the wrong. Hey Bhagavan, please bless me with the knowledge of what I can change, what I cannot change. And please bless me with the knowledge and strength to change intelligently, prudently what I can, to accept gracefully what I cannot. Hey Bhagavan, please bless me with the clear vision of your Swarupam obtaining as my own self. In Tamil we say, Aatkondu Arulvai, Aatkondu Arulvai. Aatkoldal means what? Having Bhagavan Swarupam revealed to oneself. Okay. So we'll continue next class. Was it clear? Any doubts? Any questions from anybody? These mantra words are not straight. We have to understand properly. It says Ubhayapadi Dhatu, Vru Dhatu, Ubhayapadi, Vrunute, Vrunoti. Vrunute, Vrunoti. Ubhayapadi Dhatu. Vrunute, Vrunoti. That is why Varanam means choice. Varaha, choice. Masculine gender word. Vritihi, choice. Feminine gender word. And Varaha, Varanam. Varaha, Varanam, Vritihi, choice. Vrunoti, Vrunute, chooses. Swayam, Vrunoti, it is Swayam, Varaha. Pravachanena na labhyaha does not mean that this list to discourse is useless. Does not mean chanting Vedamanta is useless. No. What I'm saying, without Purusharthan is Cheha. See, without knowing the purpose of ultimately living this life, purpose of living this life is discovering Bhagavan, discovering the truth, discovering moksha. Without Purusharthan is Cheha. Without commitment to the pursuit of moksha and jnanam, people simply go and listen for the sake of intellectual pleasure. Sake of going arguing with other people. No, I also read Upanishads. You know that? There's so many MAs, PhDs in universities. They don't have any Purusharthan Nischaya. It's the only difference, okay? People do Advaita Vedanta MA in Upanishads, in universities. See how good they are, or how argumentative they are. What I'm saying, studying with the sannyasi, not just me, but I'm saying, people, Swamiji's teachers, including me also, I'm saying, when people... The people, they choose to go to life of sannyasa itself for jnanam and moksha only. The commitment. So, who can emphasize? You can go and study, do this Vedanta, you can do, you can get MA, PhD in Advaita Vedanta, the universities. But the professors, they teach everything. But they may not emphasize. See, how moksha is the ultimate goal. And you must repeatedly, Pujya Swamiji, 6 months introduction, Swamiji always used to sell. Say, in the whole of this 3.5 years course, she said, the 3.5 years course only gives an introduction to study of the Shastra. One has to study after the 3 years course. And the first 6 months course, Swamiji always used, Swamiji always says, people should know what I am studying Vedanta for. Very important. What I am studying Vedanta for must be very clear. What I am studying is for. It will not help you earn a lot of money or anything. What I'm studying Vedanta for must be very, very clear. That means, if you know I'm studying Vedanta for the attainment of jnanam, must be very clear. And jnanam of what? Knowledge of Bhagavan, knowledge of the truth, knowledge of moksha is one and the same. And for which you must know moksha is my choiceless end. And to know that, you must have analyzed all Purusharthas. What is Artha pursued for? What is Kama pursued for? What is Dharma lived for, pursued for? What is ultimately sought through all Artha, Kama, Dharmas? 100% you must be clear. I pursue Artha for security, but ultimately through security, what I want is moksha, happiness, peace of mind. Through the enjoyment of pleasures, ultimately what I want is peaceful life, happy life. Through accumulating punyam also, what I ultimately want is by living a life of dharma, by being charitable, by doing so many things, ultimately what I seek is only moksha, freedom. I want peaceful, happy life. That wanting peaceful, happy life is implied by the word moksha. And Shastram says that is possible only in jnanam. Because your unhappiness, all the human problems and miseries are because of ajnanam and wrong identity, because of wrong erroneous perception, because of wrong notions. Is it clear? That is why without knowing, having Purusharthan is cheha, without knowing the value of moksha, without knowing moksha being the choiceless end, without being commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, without knowing Bhagavan, moksha, jnanam being identical, without having any clear understanding, a person goes and sits and listens head without head and tail. I mean, there's no systematic study. See, you can go and listen to any number of discourses without any the systematic study is important. See, people think, because people are naturally, they love wisdom, they love clarity, they love something nice. That is why people come, we listen to so many people, whoever says any good things, we love it. But I'm not saying it's bad, but you learn Shastram systematically, then you listen to any amount, anything, then you will know, you will know where to place it, how it is relevant. So what is mentioned is, without the commitment, simply going and listening and listening and listening, reciting mantras, doing pujas, you know, okay, I'm doing because it's good. Then Atma is not labhyaha. You simply get into the bus and you keep on traveling, but you don't know where you should get down. What will happen? You're sitting in the bus and you are going everywhere and you don't seem to be getting down at all. And if the person, where do you want to get down? I don't know. I like being in the bus. I enjoy watching all these things. That's what enjoying pleasures. You must know where to get down, isn't it? Purushartha nischaya. That is what is emphasized. See, commitment. Commitment must be there. I tell you, this purushartha nischaya, one word, even this expression, Pujya Swamiji takes so much part for this. Being definite about the ultimate purpose of living this life, being discovering moksha. Then there is a commitment. I must attain jnanam. So the commitment, the pursuit of jnanam should not, does not prevent you, stop you from your day-to-day life. In fact, the same shastram teaches you how you should live your day-to-day life, how you should pursue artha, how you should enjoy your pleasures, how you should live a life. The grihasthashrama dharma itself is for you to prepare your mind for jnanam. The life is entry into married life, entering into married life itself is ultimately for jnanam. To prepare your mind for jnanam. If this understanding is there, either both husband and wife must have this understanding so that they will intimacy will be there between them. Why? Pujya Swami always says, intimacy is possible between any relation, between any relationship will be lost if there's intimacy. The intimacy must be based on one's commitment to dharma. Isn't it? Otherwise, it's simply these petty things will cause, create problems. Purushartha nischaya. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.